So if you have your Bible or your phone Bible app, whatever, as long as your phone is silent so we don't get any of those annoying beeps and buzzes and rings, open it up now, Ephesians chapter 2. You may have noticed in the last couple weeks we talked a lot about this great plan that God has for us, the plan to redeem us, the plan to bring us back to himself by his sacrifice on the cross. And you may be thinking as you read that, well, that's a great plan, but why was it necessary? Well, I mean, yeah, I hear about our sin, but why was it so necessary? Why did God have to do what he did? What was so wrong with the situation? And the apostle answers this in the next chapter as the Holy Spirit leads him in to write these words. He says, and you, now, if you are you, raise your hand. If you are you, this is you. And you, me, we, and you, he made alive, which is not in the original text. It was added later, but it's the sense of what happened here. You, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wait, so he did what he did because we were dead? Yep. You said, no. I came to Jesus while I was alive. Yeah, physically. But spiritually, you were dead. You were dead. With all understanding of those who create horror shows and horror movies, you don't have to become a zombie to become the walking dead. You just need to be born. We're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And we cement that death by not only knowing that we're born into the sin, but we commit the sin ourselves. And sin separates us from God. And the Bible is very clear that death is not the absence of a heartbeat or the breath or the brain function. Death is separation eternally from God. So we're born into death. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but our sin did that. Our sin. So you, me, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Huh. By the way, the Bible says that we were dead, but we were also blind, a slave to sin, a lover of darkness, sick, lost, an alien, a stranger, a foreigner, a child of wrath, and we were under the power of darkness. There are some of the descriptions of those of us who are in this, who were born into this world, which is all of us, and we were born dead, walking dead, dead in our trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. As notice he puts both there. Trespasses mean we crossed the line. There's a boundary. We crossed the line. We stepped over the line. Sins is missing the mark of perfection. We do both. We're both rebellious and rebels, and we're failures. That's us. We failed. We missed God's perfection, and we intentionally stepped over the line. That's us. That's why we needed to be redeemed, to be reconciled to God, because we're separated. Verse 2, in which you, again, you, me, all of us, once walked, and Paul, by the way, is including himself in this because he was a sinner who needed to be saved, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the drumbeat of this world, the pattern of this world, the way the world operates. Do you know why we follow the way the world operates? Because we're humans and we're earthly. And it's who we are. And we don't realize when we're walking to the course of this world that we're actually walking according to the path, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. Some people get disturbed by him being called things like that. It's very clear that he is a created being. He's not God, never would be God, never could be God. He's no threat to God. He is our adversary. But we recognize here that when man, who was created in the image of God, abdicated that position by sinning, then all of a sudden Satan came in and said, oh, I got something I could do here. And he took control. He's the prince and the power of this air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. That was us. Among whom Also, we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. And you might be thinking, no, I wasn't that bad, or I'm not that bad. This doesn't mean that you're out there murdering people or stealing from people or looking at pornography all day or doing all kinds. It doesn't mean that, though that may be part of some of the things that we have done. But we're children of wrath, meaning that we're born into sin, we commit sin because we're not perfect and we miss God's perfection. And there's things that we did just because we wanted to do them, because we said, this is what I want to do. My way. I like some Frank Sinatra music, but I can't listen to My Way. Since I became a Christian, I can't. I'm glad for those who changed the words from it, because I sing the other words, the Christianized words, and some of you may have heard that. It's kind of cool. It's kind of different. You know, but I can no longer say I want to do it my way. That was who I once was. I want to do it His way. I don't want to walk according to the pattern of this world, the principles of this world. I want to be a fish who swims upstream against the current. I want to go God's way, not my way. I hope you do too. But Satan wants to bring us back into the pattern of this world. And you say, well, what is, it's the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it, but he gives you a direction. He prompts you to go this way. But it's your own flesh. And it's this world itself. It's like a magnet to us. So the world system, the flesh in us, the devil, all conspiring together to bring us to do these things that we shouldn't be doing. But that's who we were. There's a grave misunderstanding by most people, and even among some Christians, who say we're all, meaning everybody in the world, we're all God's children. That is incorrect scripturally, biblically. We're all His creation, and we all have the potential to become the children of God. But when you're not a child of God, meaning before you've been born again, before your sins have been washed away, do you know what you were a child of? Wrath. We're under judgment. Jesus said it this way, you brood of vipers. Your father is the devil. Because they weren't following Him. You may say, I came to be uplifted this morning and you're making me really down. I never heard this whole message. A pastor friend of mine told me about it and did a pretty good job of recounting it, but he said when he was at a church service one time where he was not preaching, I think he was at actually a pastor's conference and somebody was speaking there, the man quoted on the butts of the Bible. And that might sound a little weird when you hear it. He quoted on the butts of the Bible. And he kind of misspoke and got a chuckle from everybody when he talked about the little butts and the big butts, and everybody laughed, of course, and you know. But he was talking about these wonderful times in the Bible where it says this phrase, but God. Yes, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Yes, you had no hope of saving yourself, redeeming yourself. You had no way to get back to God, but God. Oh, in our life, we have to say that many times, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. You notice the past tense? He loved us. He loved us, you know when? When you were unlovable. Meaning He loved you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, no, 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 God loved me when I got saved. No, 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 no. If that was the case, it would have been too late because you never would have got there because you never could save yourself and you never can get yourself good enough to get saved and you can never do anything to make yourself lovable to God. He loves you because He does. He loved you when you were at your worst, dead in trespasses and sins. And you know one of the greatest secrets to walking in the grace of God? Is to stop trying to make yourself lovable to God and just receive His love because He loves you. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to please Him by the way we live, and we'll get to that in a few minutes here. But the point is, so many of us are still trying to make ourselves acceptable to God. You never could. You never will. He loves you because of his love for you, in spite of the fact that we are unlovable, that we're rebels, sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. Because he says it here in verse 5. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit has to drop in here, by grace you have been saved. In case at some point we're starting to like puff up a little bit, saying, there must be something special about me. Did he pick me? He chose me? No, nothing special in you. It's his love. Nothing on your part. He loves you. And he raised us up together. Somebody say amen to that, please. Because sometimes we think we're the only one. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's amazing what God has done. This message is titled, God's Workmanship. You know, the eternal plan of the triune God the last couple weeks. Today is this God's workmanship. God designing something. God making something. God doing something in us that had no business ever becoming something that we are in the process of becoming. But God in his love for us has done all this work in us. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together to sit in heavenly places. Do you realize this world at this moment is not your home? It's not. I pay a mortgage. I pay rent. I know. But if you're a Christian, your home is heaven. It's with the Lord. We're just traveling through here. We're ambassadors here. We got work to do here. This is temporary. This is temporary. And he did this to show us in the ages to come the exceeding richness of his grace. You know, when all of the saints are gathered one day, and we talked about that several couple months back in Revelation, praising our God together, worshiping together. As the song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, right? That's just a drop in the bucket of eternity. What are we going to be doing? Praising our God through eternity. Could you imagine, like, because we can't count years in eternity because there's no time that way. Could you imagine for all eternity? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine all eternity? Do you remember when Jesus did this for you? Remember? I mean, you say, oh, that got boring after a while. No, it won't. We can never stop thanking him for what he's done for us. And he's going to show the riches of his grace. An exhibition, if you will, for his own purposes, for his own glory. It's all for the glory of God. The exceeding riches of his grace. He has as much grace as you want, more than you could ever need. It's there for us. And it's so great that if you see from these passages, he's saying to us, come, receive it. Come. Come as you are. Receive it. Receive my grace. And this was his plan while you were dead in trespasses and sins. This was his plan before he even formed you, before he created this world. This was his plan. His plan. His workmanship. See, because the results of our redemption, being bought back with the price of his blood, the results of our reconciliation to God, meaning that we were apart from him, but through his blood were reconciled back to him, this salvation that we call it, the results of that is verse 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we know this, we hear that all the time. But I pray today that we get it from the standpoint that we understand it, to say, you know what? There was nothing that I did that earned merit enough for God to save me. Zero. But we are his workmanship. poema in the Greek. Some say it means poem. It really doesn't. It means workmanship, his creation. It means something that he has built, something that he has done, and something that he has made. I mean, could it be like a poem? Yeah, but that's not necessarily a direct translation from it. Some people go on to say that, but poema, his workmanship. God has made us and done all this for us and reconciled us through himself, through the broken body, through the blood that was shed, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do our own thing. Right? Come on. See what it says there? Come on. To do our own thing. To say, thank you for saving me. Now I'm going to do my thing. I'll just do what I feel like doing now. No. We are saved, reconciled back to God because he loves us, but he did this because he's working in us something beautiful. You know what that beautiful thing he's working within us? Good works. Good works. Wow. Do you know our good works, the way we do them from a selfish point of view in our flesh, aren't really good works. Because there's always something when we do it in the flesh that brings glory to ourselves. Good works in Christ bring glory to our Father in heaven, and that's beautiful. And he's building something. Listen, there's things in any church as called out assembly. You know, the body of Christ is in the world today, praise God. And there's those in the body of Christ that, and we're going to see this a little bit more clearly in a moment, that aren't quite maybe doing what they should be doing. And sometimes we who are redeemed still sometimes forget that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, not in our flesh. And when our fleshly walk, even as Christians, becomes a little bit too evident, then amongst ourselves we have some things that are not very pretty or beautiful. It can get kind of ugly. Church can sometimes be an ugly place. But that's our flesh. That's not what God has created. The workmanship that he has created is for us to walk not according to the flesh, but by his Spirit. And amongst us, when we walk that Spirit walk, when we do the things according to his plan and purposes by the Holy Spirit, it is beautiful. And I've seen both sides of it in my years as a Christian, in my years as a pastor. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen some of the ugly in church that shouldn't be there. And then you can smell the flesh and the rotting flesh. But I've also seen the beautifulness of God's workmanship, the beauty of his workmanship. I've seen things done in church because of God's love for us and the fact that we just want to serve him by loving him and loving one another that transcends anything that this world could ever manufacture on its own. And it's so beautiful. And guess what? Through that, God gets all the glory. We're his workmanship. The gift of God, his grace, his workmanship, work of art. The Jerusalem Bible translated that way. We are his work of art, transforming love. His transforming love is so great that while we were dead in trespasses and sin, his love is so great that it meets us just right where we are, right? Not worthy of anything except death and hell. He meets us there, but then he transforms us and he creates something beautiful within us. And you know what? We're not yet what we're going to be. But each day we should become more beautiful as we allow him to work in us, to good works, to serve him, to love him. And you know, this new life that he created in us, in many ways is bara, creates something out of nothing. See, don't get the idea that he's just taking your old self and polishing up and making it better. No, he does something brand new within us. Because the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are, say it with me, a new creation. The former thing has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. His workmanship. And it's a beautiful thing. Let him do that work in you. Don't just say, I'll just polish it up. No, that's you. Don't just, see, there's a big difference. We can. And many people have reformed themselves. I got some religion. I'm better now. I don't curse anymore. I don't drink anymore. I got religion. I'm good. No, that's reformation. You can reform yourself. That's not salvation, and it is definitely not transformation. Only God can transform us into something completely new. And that's what we are in Christ. Now, here's the thing. That's where our scripture from this main text is this morning. I got a few more minutes together with all of us here today to just jump to another scripture and just bring this all together, because I want us to see that the results of this reconciliation, the result of that redemption, our redemption, is that God did this for us because we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and he's doing something amazing and wonderful in and through us and making us into a work of art through our good works. But turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick, because I want us to understand that God did everything for us to save us. We could do nothing for ourselves. And God, once we are saved, justified is that term we use. Once we are justified, once we are born again, which is a one-time thing, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, right? You know you're a sinner. Confess Jesus is the only way. By faith we receive the grace of God. You're born again, justified, and then immediately begins a process called sanctification. And in that, God does everything he's going to do, but you know what? We play a part in sanctification. We can play no part in justification, but we play a part in sanctification. We need to say, Father, work your masterpiece in me. I want you to make me into something beautiful that glorifies you. We have to let him do it. Listen to these verses, 20 and 21. But in a great house, think of a great house, a great, beautiful house that you could think of. Well, it's so much greater, the house that God is building, which is us. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The masterpiece is us, that he's created for good works. The masterpiece is that we are vessels in his house. We are vessels, and you and I should strive to have the sanctification work with us be more completed every day so that we can be vessels for honor. You and I should strive, because all this again glorifies our Father, not ourselves. When we are doing that his way, it glorifies our Father, and we should be a beautiful, if you will, gold platter or gold bowl, in which is contained the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are evident to the world, not that we're something special, but that if God can do this in a wretched sinner like me, he is amazing God who loves us with love we can never imagine. Would you join me in receiving him as your Father too, as your Savior? A vessel of honor, a vessel that will glorify our Father in heaven. See, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that's the part we play. Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. Father, will you work in me? Will you work through me? Will you polish me? Clean me up? Help me each day to become less like me and more like you. Father, teach me what it means to truly decrease, that you would increase in me. And Father, would you be glorified through my life so I could be sanctified and useful? That does not mean that there's some Christians that are vessels of honor because they are better and God loves them more. No, or they're super spiritual. No, all it means is that God is going to use those vessels that will allow the process of sanctification to take place in their life so that they can say, Father, in any way you want to use me, I'm available. So, Father, help me. Help me to die, that you might live in me. Help me to crucify my flesh every day, that I can walk in the Spirit by your power, that I can truly say that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God who gave his life for me. And you and I are prepared for every good work. Not just what we might do Sunday morning or Wednesday night or some other times here and there. Every good work, when you're at home, in your house, on the job, at school, on the street, in the supermarket, driving your car, all these opportunities that we have as we go down this highway of life to say, Father, here I am. Would you use me as a vessel that would give you honor and glory, a vessel that would serve you? Because listen, the truth of the matter is, if you're a born-again Christian, you are a vessel. The question is, do you want to be a gold vessel that he can use for honor, or do you want to be a garbage can that he uses to take out the trash? Now, you understand what I'm saying with that? That's not demeaning. It's to say, listen, Father, I want to be a vessel in any way that you would have me to be a vessel, and in that, then he would use us as vessels of honor. He's going to use it in vessels of honor, and in that, he would be glorified. Because every time that God works in and through us in that manner, we know, and the world around us can see, it's not us. It's him. Because while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he died for us because he loved us, and now he is building and making us into his beautiful work of art that would show the world his great love, and would testify of that great love, and would give him all the glory that he deserves. Father, help us today to just continually remember that it's by grace we are saved and not of works. And Father, let us remember that you loved us while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and all these things that you have done for us, you have done, Lord God, when we were at our worst. But Father, once you have come in, and once you have done this amazing work within us, it is your desire that we become this wonderful work of art, vessels for honor that bring honor to you and glory to you, that would testify to others of this great love which you have and the great work that you've accomplished upon the cross for our sake. So, Lord, today would we pray for those who have not yet received your salvation, because we heard today, Lord, in this word that, Father, you're the one that does it, and that, Father, they're following, those that we love are still following the course of this world, the pattern of this world, and the devil and their flesh is deceiving them into going to hell. But Father, we pray today that you would interrupt that process, that you would give them the ears to hear, that you would do that drawing process to them, that you would give them that opportunity to today hear your word. Lord, put somebody in their path. Let them hear something on the radio. Let them run into one of your children that would be used by you as a vessel of honor to show your love and grace towards them, so that, Father, our families can be saved, our loved ones can be saved. Father, help us today that have already been born again to never forget where we came from and what price was paid for us. But today, help us to desire to be this beautiful work of art that, Father, would glorify you because you are worthy to be praised. So, Lord, today I just pray that your words would take root in our heart, they would not return void, and that your Holy Spirit would both convict and convince, and that we would respond. In Jesus' name, amen.